Without further ado, though, I do want to introduce you to everyone here. Special guest to drywind.net, Dr. Stephen M. Ulish, is the author of many books, including The Great Harpazo Deception, Invasion Israel, and many others. He was a member of the research group NICAP in the 1960s. After reading Project Blue Book, he studied astronomy and exobiology at Case Western Reserve University and graduated in 1969. Eventually became a history professor at the University of Arizona for 7 years, where he visited Alan Hynek's Tucson group. He became interested in Bible prophecy after he had, and I love this phrase, a head-on collision with Jesus Christ in 1988. Stephen, welcome, and I wanted to see what you've been up to lately.
Well, it's interesting. I woke up this morning with laryngitis. I mean, Satan wants to shut me up, but he's not going to do it.
That's right.
It's amazing. I've been writing, as you know, articles. Sort of my mission field is writing articles for UFO Digest and other UFO and paranormal organizations. And it's amazing. I've written 32 articles for them in the last 15 months, and they've published every one of them, which is amazing. I keep thinking they're not going to do the next one. They're not going to, because I criticize really everything that they do, but they keep running them. So it's, that's sort of become, as I said, my mission field, and I get people writing me and, you know, contacting me based on the articles, most of them negative, but occasionally some Christians, you know, write me and tell me they enjoy them, and I say, what are you doing on that site? But anyways, but, you know, that's what I've been doing, Daryl, and it's been really rewarding for me, even though I got more response, in a sense, from these articles than the books, because I'm on about 100 different paranormal or UFO websites, especially UFO Digest. They contact, they get involved with many different sites. They put their material all over the place.
And right, they network on you.
Network,
yeah.
Right. So, yeah. You know, they're all over the world. And so it's been really rewarding. In fact, there's one gentleman, I'm not going to mention his name, but he's a very prominent UFO writer, and he's written 100 books and paranormal studies, and he also writes occasionally for UFO Digest. We've become good friends now. We write all the time. So make all kinds of contacts like that and try to, you know, I don't compromise, as you see from my articles, on what the truth is, and people need to hear it, especially in these, I believe, end times that we're living in.
Absolutely. One of the questions I asked Lynn, and I'm going to ask this to you as well, and it seems like 2008, like 2007, continues to ramp up as far as the way that these things are being, one, reported in the media, and then perhaps also just the simple number of sightings that are occurring. I mean, we had the Stephenville, Texas event has become almost like the Phoenix Lights of 97, and orange orbs have been seen all over the UK, and pilots have been seeing things. And then today, you just sent me, just before the interview here, we hear that the city of Phoenix and their emergency personnel are training on, alien contact. So what's going on here, Stephen?
You know, that's amazing. I'm glad you got to see that email. I saw it on the TV that they're promoting at the 10 o'clock news hour tonight. They're going to talk more about that, this manual that apparently is in all the firehouses in Phoenix that tells people not only firemen how to prepare for emergencies, even terrorist attacks, but how to respond to alien contact. And that's amazing, as you said. I don't know. You know, if you take a conspiratorial attitude, I think the government knows more than they're telling us. I mean, obviously, and if it's local government or national government, I mean, to put a manual in all the Phoenix firehouses, I mean, that's pretty drastic, I would think. So either they know, you know, more than they're telling us, which is probably true, or just from a spiritual standpoint, I believe that Satan knows his time is short. I mean, this is all that's going on in Israel, all that's going on in the world, the Middle East. I believe that we're living in the end times, and Satan is getting ready for the great deception, which I believe will be the rapture deception, that when we Christians are taken off the earth, be with Jesus in the air, it'll be explained to those left behind that we were abducted by UFOs. I mean, people would rather believe that than believe we were with Jesus in the air. So I think that Satan is getting that great deception online. I mean, that people are accepting it. We're seeing more of it in the media. You said more books, movies.
Right.
History Channel, the Sci-Fi Channel have these new UFO Hunters show. that just started. I mean, there's so much going on, and I think it's just preparing the masses for when millions of Christians disappear. How can you explain that? How can you explain the disappearance of millions or tens of millions, hopefully, of people? But if you say they're abducted by UFOs, people accept that. I mean, that's something that's in our consciousness.
Really, that's interesting. You know, the other, this was, I think, during the summer, Major Ed Dames was on Coast to Coast, and he was I don't know if you've ever heard him, but he was discussing his remote viewing, and, you know, which, of course, with all respect to Major Ed Dames, I think is hugely spiritually deceptive. I think he's tapping into forces that are malevolent, to say the least. And one of the things he mentioned is that he was picking up some kind of mass abduction, he called it. He talks about this thing called the kill shot, which he believes there's some kind of radiation coming from the sun that's going to wipe out, you know, all you know, a significant portion of humanity. But he talks about, you know, and always these are couched in terms of, well, this is going to be a transformation.
Right.
We're moving towards this event. And then also we have this exopolitics movement. I don't know if you've picked up on that.
Yes.
With Stephen Bassett. And they're pushing this same kind of thing. And so it almost seems like there's the government is in one position. They don't want to talk about it.
Right.
And yet there's this massive push to disclose, and again I put disclose in quotation marks because there sounds like what they want to disclose is their agenda, you know, to make us believe that
right.
These are aliens who are coming here to assist us at the very least. So these are two forces that are, you know, heading towards one another like two locomotives, and we're standing on the sidelines wondering, well, this is interesting.
Yeah, UFO Digest, in fact, the last, I think all weeks, this week and last week, has been running articles, one article after the other, about this Michael Sala, I think this doctor, this PhD, wrote an article about this, what did you call it,
Exopolitics. Yeah.
And this disclosure that there's going to be a major statement at the United Nations in 2013, and he said, he's quoting today, wrote another article saying his sources he mentioned last week, and it's amazing, they go on and on and on and on about this. In fact, the remote viewing also, Gerald, is interesting because in my first book, The Great Art Positive Deception, I talk a lot about remote viewing, which is interesting. The characters of the book first locate extraterrestrials or fallen angels by using remote viewing, and that's a whole aspect on remote viewing in the book. But anyways, which I think, as you said, is a demonic technique, but that people talk about that a great deal, especially in Paris, like in paranormal studies or UFO studies, remote viewing, which is just like psychic phenomena using psychics, which is what remote viewing is, using psychics to tune into, the CIA used to use them to tune into Russians and spying without having to leave Washington, and now people are turning their remote viewing, turning their eyes up to the skies to find these supposed extraterrestrials, which are demonic fallen angel beings, I believe.
Right.
And they're being totally deceived by this. You know, even if they're doing it, they think they're finding these beings, like you said, they're going to come and help us. They're going to help mankind, these messiahs in the sky, so to speak. These people are going to lead them to hell. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Sad. Tragic.
It is. And it is interesting. And you are one of the pivotal authors on this idea and how this relates to the history of God's chosen land and Israel and the Jewish people in particular, how these events seem to track through history. You know, we look back at the other night I heard someone discussing the airship event of 1897. So, you know, that's kind of an interesting event. This is predates our aerial technology. A lot of people saw these things across the world, not just in the United States. And, you know, you begin to see, well, that was about the same year that the Zionist movement was making a lot of headway in Europe and even in among certain thinkers in the United States. And then, you know, you look at Fatima. Well, that was, you know, around 1917. And then you look at the Balfour Declaration of that same year, where they were, you know, they didn't follow through on it, but the British Empire was planning to deed land to form the nation of Israel. And it's almost like the enemy is trying to second guess the Lord and is ramping up this activity. And I don't know if there's necessarily a one-to-one correlation, but there definitely seems to be some kind of correlation. And now we see, you know, the Middle East is heating up. We even have, you know, the Jericho missile tests, or Israel's testing Jericho missiles. They're putting up satellites like crazy. We have the Iranian leader who's spouting off more hate speech and to destroy Israel. You know, obviously we had Israel attempting to apparently destroy some kind of reactor or a nuclear facility in Syria.
Syria, right.
And then now we have these events, you know, starting to show up. It is interesting to me, and I really commend you for being on the cutting edge of this idea in particular.
Well, again, God has really used me, Daryl. I mean, it's amazing because in hindsight, everything makes sense. You know, well, at the time, you know, I was a professor at the University of Arizona. I was very new age, even though I was interested in UFOs, you know, from interest, you said, work with Alan Hynek's group. This was a group in Tucson, and lectured my students about new age stuff, all kinds of new age parapsychology and paranormal activity and reincarnation and blah, blah, blah. Then I went to work for the Jewish National Fund and raised money for Israel. See, and now you look back on this, it all made sense because God was preparing me. That's how I could deal and talk to these ufologists or these paranormal people. Because I was one of them. I mean, I know exactly where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I tell them, well, I found the truth. I was searching like you're searching, and I found the truth, which is Jesus. Now, you know, they don't always agree with that, but they can disagree with the fact that I know exactly what they're talking about. And with Israel, as you said, I did a lot of work with it. In fact, I met Benjamin Netanyahu, who was the former prime minister of Israel, and hopefully he'll be again. But I was raising money for the Jewish community in Phoenix. This was probably 1984. And Benjamin Netanyahu came in. He was our speaker, and I took him aside. And then I think he was United Nations ambassador for Israel. Took him aside. So I was a professor. His father is a history professor. It turned out specialized in the Inquisition, Spanish Inquisition. We talked, and you know he loved Israel and loved the Jewish people, and so did I. And now I look at it like you said. I mean, look, we've got Roswell in 1947. We got Israel set up as a state in 1948. I don't believe that's a coincidence.
Right.
Satan realized that once Israel came in, as I said, his time is short, the countdowns began, and he's scurrying around trying to get everybody deceived, and especially the Jewish people and other unbelievers. You know, and I believe it all ties together. You know, I don't know exactly how, but it seems to be really tying together, and that's what I did in my second book, The Israel Invasion. I talked about Ezekiel 38 and 39, all these Islamic nations would come backed by Gog, which was Russia and Iran. I mean, who would have ever thought Russia and Iran would be allies, especially
yeah.
2,000, 3,000 years ago when Ezekiel was writing this? And look at it now. You've got Iran and Russia, and I believe they're going to form the group of nations that are going to invade Israel. And all the talk, this was before all the talk by Ahmadinejad about Israel as a parasite, and killing the Jews and all this. And I had all that in my book, in this novel. And at the time, it seemed a little intense, but look what's going on. You just pick up the newspaper, look on the internet, that Iranian guy's constantly raving about destroying the Jewish people and talking about the Mahdi coming back and that the Islamic Messiah is going to come, which I believe is the Antichrist, if
mm-hmm.
anything. And people are going to be deceived, but it all does fit together and all the stuff going on in the Middle East. And there's a lot of UFO sightings in Israel also.
I was going to ask you about that. I think there was Barry, and I'm going to...
Chemish.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Have you been in contact with anyone in Israel regarding these sightings?
I've run to Barry. Barry's, we've been running back and forth over the years. He's more interested in this whole conspiracy theory to kill Rabin, I think.
Right.
So usually when I write about UFOs, he writes back about this, about Rabin and all this, and all the corruption in Israel, which unfortunately is the case. I mean,
yes.
People think that Israel's a holy nation. It isn't a holy nation. It's a secular nation, just like we are. You know, they've got a lot of pornography, a lot of abortion, a lot of New Age. You know, but God has a plan for them. You know,
right.
He hasn't forgotten the Jewish people, like Paul said in Romans 11. And he's going to come back and give them a new heart and
that's right.
Eyes. And I believe it all, as you said, all does fit together. We see what's going on with the Jewish people. And I mean, they think I'm anathema to them. I mean, most of the Jewish people here in Flagstaff, where I'm at, just run from me. I mean, they don't want, because they know I was a member of the Jewish community, Jewish professional, a Pharisee, so to speak,
uh-huh.
and I was a professor. I'm not stupid. I'm educated. So whatever they could say about, yeah, he's in a cult, you know, he doesn't really know the Jewish people. He doesn't know the Jewish theology. He doesn't really know, but they know that I do. So it makes it even more difficult for them. So they would just assume a beshumet, which in Hebrew means I'm a sort of a traitor, you know. Anyways, that's on my family, by the way, too, and my friends. I mean, they just completely, which Jesus said, I mean, if they rejected me, what do you think they're going to do with you? So I've lived all this, Daryl. I mean, my wife knows it since we've been married for 18 years, but she's seen it over the years, and she says, I can't believe it, but you can just see it, how the Jewish people, how my family, friends, they just absolutely, I mean, they'll believe anything but Jesus. They'll just believe Buddha. You could have Buddhist Jews, or New Age Jews or Hindu or UFO, whatever it is, and people accept them. But if you say Jesus, boy, they run, absolutely run.
Yet in the Word of God, we understand that many will come to Christ.
Absolutely, you know, in spite of them. As they said, there's about as much chance of them accepting Christ as me. So I was just impossible from my perspective, too. So if God can touch my heart, he can touch any of them, too. And some of them say, well, if he touches my heart like he did you, I'll believe. But otherwise, I'm not going to listen to a bunch of Christians waving Bibles at me. And I said, I was the same way. I mean, I understand that. You know, that's why Paul said Jews need signs. And usually it takes a revelation, personal revelation of Jesus Christ. Because if you just sit them and read them scripture, it doesn't work.
You know, I mean, one of the things that could change minds, and Marzulli and you have described this event, you know, where we have disclosure not only of alien presence, so-called alien presence from the government, but we have people, ordinary people, seeing things over their, you know, over cities. I mean, we're talking millions of people seeing things. That's going to be a huge talk about a paradigm shift for people. One of the things is it's going to be a paradigm shift for a lot of Christians that are not paying attention to this subject now because they think it's fringe, it's silly. What would you say to a believer right now who's kind of looking at this skeptically, saying, well, you're talking about UFOs, whatever, you know? What would you say to them?
I would tell them, you know, that the whole concept of extraterrestrials or fallen angels, it's in the Bible. I mean, just go back to Genesis 6, when you had the sons of God, the daughters of men coming together, and you had the children, which were the Nephilim or whatever, you know, so we see that in Scripture. I mean, it's that notion of, I would call them sons of God, angels, but they're fallen angels. And then in Ephesians, and then 2 Peter, and in Jude, I mean, it talks about going after strange flesh. Well, the strange flesh that these fallen angels went after was human flesh, human females. And what happened? God, and that's what led to the flood, and then God took them and banished them to the Tartarus, to the depths of the earth, in darkness. So it's happened before, you know, and then another group of Nephilim came in. We see that even when Joshua, and they went into the promised land of Canaan, they ran into the giants. Another wave of these giants, which were the offspring of the fallen angels, I believe, and the human female. So it's biblical, you know. And Enoch talked about it, and I know a lot of Christians don't like to quote the Enoch because it's extra biblical. But Jude talks about it in Jude 6, you know, in Jude 13, too, what Enoch prophesied. So, I mean, I think that there's a lot I would tell them, which I have told them, and they don't always listen, unfortunately, that Scripture's full of this notion of fallen angels. And even Ephesians 6:12, put on the full armor of God and, you know, and fight against these spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But what spiritual wickedness in heavenly places? I believe that's these angels, these offspring or these of Satan, you know. In fact, you sent me that note. I think that there is. Satan does have offspring, because if we look at 1 John 3:10, it talks about the children of the devil. You know, so, I mean, there is Scripture talks about this. And what are these? I believe these are these fallen angels that keep starting trouble. And, you know, and you can look back through the ancient Greek and Roman myths about the Minotaur and all these half-human, half-animal hybrids. I think that goes back to the same notion. And we're seeing a lot more of that. What are they called? Chimeras? Or,
right.
There's a lot of stuff going on now with cloning, you know, and we're doing all kinds of things. And God help us. I don't know.
What is your take on the abduction phenomena?
Again, I think all of this phenomena exists, you know, the UFOs or the abduction phenomena, but I think it's all Satan. Satan is creating in our mindset, in our human consciousness, that human beings can be abducted by extraterrestrials, whatever you want to call it. Because, again, when the rapture happens and there's millions of people gone, this could be explained by the abduction phenomena. We were abducted. We were taken off, you know, to some would say, that the bad people are taken in the rapture. Some of the New Age people say that the bad people are taken to make a better world. We'll raise to a higher level of consciousness, a new order, when we take the bad people off, which are the Christians, the judgmental Christians. So again, I think the abduction phenomena is just, you know, if it's happening, I wouldn't doubt it, you know, because it's creating a mindset for that time when we are, quote, taken off the earth. We're not abducted. We're caught up to be with Jesus in the air in the rapture. So I believe, Daryl, that's probably what Satan is doing. He's creating that mindset. So people see it in movies. They read books about it. They see it on TV, whatever. So when it does happen in mass, when we're taken off the earth, it'll be explained as an abduction.
Do you think that there is some genetic manipulation going on?
I don't know. As I said, it could very well be, you know, that's you said about the cattle mutilations. I don't know, but again, it wouldn't surprise me because, again, if we look back to Greek and Roman mythology with all these half-animal, half-human, forget the hybrids or whatever. I think that was the same thing. I think that's mating or playing around with DNA between humans and demonic entities or fallen angels. So it could very well be. And usually, many times when people say they're abducted or whatever, many times they say they take their semen or they take their their eggs. You know, that's usually a part of the abduction phenomenon, that they mess around sexually with people. So it
right.
could be. I mean, you know.
One of the things that I don't know, I'm completely speculating here, so right. I'm not, but I've really noticed this, obviously the cattle abduction phenomena was even investigated by the FBI. It's a fairly serious issue. Linda Moulton Howe has dealt with it, I think, you know, although I disagree with her on her view about it, I think she's done a very good job investigating it. And, you know, it looks like these things, whatever they are, and we believe that they're these multidimensional entities, which are called angels in the Bible, that are doing some shenanigans here.
Right.
They're using these, and it's very strange to think of the concept of a sacrifice. Obviously, in God's view, it was used by the Jewish people over the millennia as part of the Mosaic system. And, you know, these things are using animals, and they're taking parts of animals, and in surgical precision, they're removing the blood. And we know in the Bible, it describes the blood as life, you know, which is why we don't eat, the blood. And there's some kind, and I don't know what it is, but there's a connection between crossing over and these abductions of animals, these sacrifices, if you will, of animals. And I don't know if these images are true, but there's some people that suggest that during the Stephenville incident, someone caught some infrared video of some deer. They had some problems with, I guess they were raising deer, and they had some problems, you know, with their deer, and they were doing some infrared surveillance, and they saw an orb fly over one of these deer, and then the next frame, the deer is gone. So, you know, it is interesting, and, you know, I'm just throwing that out there, not necessarily to get an answer, but it's just kind of something to speculate about. And on that speculation, there's a lot of people who are believers, serious thinkers, who are working in this area. Have you collaborated with anyone?
Not directly, but people have. In fact, I got an email from Joe Jordan, I believe, who's the CI5. There's some group of Christians that are investigating UFO phenomenon. He read one of my articles in UFO Digest. So occasionally I hear from people, but I'm not collaborating directly. I've talked to Tom Horn. I've talked to Patrick Heron. You know, so I don't know who you're talking about specifically. But
right. No, I was just curious because there does seem to be, I mean, you've got Stephen Quayle. You've got, you know, Tom Horn, Marzulli, Michael Heiser. Missler has done some work on it, you know.
I've sent him. I haven't heard back. I know Chuck does a lot of interesting stuff.
Right, right. So I just would, I always ask that question because it is interesting to me.
Ironically, Daryl, I seem to get more, I get more contact from the New Age, people than the Christians. And as you said, that's sad, unfortunate. You know, most of the mainline Christians think I'm crazy too. You know, I've sent my stuff to, and she does a really good newsletter about Israel and about the Jewish people. Anyway,
Jan Markell?
Yeah, Jan Markell. Yeah. And she said, Steve, I just can't deal with this UFO stuff. She just said.
I know, you know, it's really interesting you mentioned that because I talked to Lynn Marzulli about maybe him coming on there, and she has dealt with that subject before. So. I know, I have a lot of respect for Jan, and I understand her position. She's on a lot of radio stations, and she's already pushing a lot of buttons, and you know, so
I'm on the board of Jewish Voice magazine. That's how we go back a long way. Because I used to be on the board of reference for Jewish Voice magazine. As I said, occasionally I hear from somebody, and that I hear from Tim, and I just meant to write his name down. Who does soundchristian.com, and he has me listed in there as one of the who's who in Bible prophecy, and that's which is one of the few Christians who really,
mm-hmm.
you know, he lists all the different Bible prophecy teachers and what's good and bad about them and whatever. But by and large, I guess the answer is no. I said most of these New Age people, like I said, this gentleman I'm writing to now, back and forth.
But they're interested.
But they're interested, and they talk to me, as I said. And even Dirk at UFO Digest, as I said, when I sent him my first article, which was December of 2006, The Upcoming Great Deception, which really talked about the rapture. And he said, I don't know, Steve, this is really, I don't agree with this at all, but I think maybe I'll run it for my readers. And now 32 articles later, I mean, he tells me, Steve, I'm a Gnostic, I believe God's in all of us, and blah, blah, blah. But he keeps running my articles. So, I mean, that's where I see God's opened up that door. And there's also X-Zone Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Rob McConnell interviewed me several times on his program and interviewed by several New Age.
Have you been able to get a hold of Richard Serrett in Canada?
Yes, I've been interviewed on his show a couple times.
Right. Yeah, he's back on the air. He was off for a while and he's back.
He was very nice.
Yeah, he had Lynn on the other night and he's very interested in the subject.
Yeah, so
he has an excellent radio program.
Shows I've been interviewed, I can't think now. You know, several of them I've been interviewed on.
Have you had a chance to view Ali Siadatan's Angels, Gods, and ETs movie?
Who is that?
His name is Ali Siadatan, and I encourage you to take a look at it. Yeah.
Ali, is that what you said?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name right.
We used to write back and forth. He was he's an Iraqi.
Yeah, he's an Iranian, a Persian, Canadian, I believe.
Canadian,
yeah.
Right. He's an Iranian, former Christian, lives in Canada.
Right.
Yeah, he wrote me and he said, he was going to do another remake of his movie. He wanted to include some of my stuff, and I said, fine. You know, I haven't heard from him in a while, but yes. So people like that, you know, he was very interested.
Right. One of the things that some explore, and this is where I part ways with some people, but I'd like to hear your views on it, is some people feel that the good angels use this technology as well, and they, you know, cite accounts from Ezekiel and that sort of thing. What is your take on that?
Interesting that you said that. I got an email today from one of these people, one of these gentlemen who has a website, another name I'm not going to mention, about UFOs, and I believe he's a Christian. He says he's a Christian. And I sent him my last, like I do all of you, my last article for UFO Digest, which was about the second coming of Jesus will be, he'll return in a white horse, not in a UFO. And I've known this guy for years, and I thought, got along well, and he sent me an email. He really went off on me. I was really shocked when Christians do that. And he said, what is going on? He said, I believe that they're, like you said, good angels. What about Ezekiel? And what about this? And what about that? He said, maybe you're the one that's deceived, Steve. Which really shocked me. I sent him back an email. I said, whoa, what's going on here? And we may agree to disagree, but
sure.
What are you going off on me? I must have hit a nerve. Anyway, and he hasn't written back. But, so to answer your question, you know, I don't believe that.
I mean, it seems to me that if we accept the concept that angels are God's creation, they're multidimensional beings, and we know from the Bible that they can appear in various forms, and we know if we take some of these accounts of modern-day angels, and I don't necessarily agree with all of them, but some of them seem like they're legitimate, and they're appearing as normal human beings, that they can change form, and the need for craft is questionable. I don't know. I mean, I'm willing to entertain it from people, but it's almost like that's a precedent that's a kind of a little bit scary if we know that these things are deceptive, to say that that they're appearing in craft. That's typically not how they do it in the Bible.
Right.
You know, they come up to Abraham by the campfire, you know. I mean, that's the Jacob encounters one in the desert as a man, you know. And so that's just, you know, that's just my take on it.
I agree with you. It's like those Marian apparitions, too, of the Virgin Mary. And,
right.
You know, and I think, I don't believe it. I just think that's deception because, you know, we don't get salvation from Mary. We get it from Jesus. So people that said, oh, I have from Mary or from these, quote, saints, forget it. I mean, it's Jesus. And especially to think that some people think that Mary, these Marian apparitions are associated with UFOs, well, that makes sense to me because they're both demonic, and I've written about that. So I just don't buy that. It's a slippery slope, I said. You know, we get too close to this, and we get into all kinds of weird.
Yeah, I mean, the Marian apparitions, that's something that is also ramping up. And, you know, this phenomena is not, you know, we're talking about UFOs, but we're not really limited to that here. We're talking about all these different, what could loosely be described in the secular sense as paranormal activity,
right,
is ramping up. And then last month in Washington State, two young girls, very innocent, nice girls, take this cell phone picture of this weird thing, you know, and obviously people sell Marian apparitions on toast, you know, that was kind of a joke, but this was very, very clear, and and so people are seeing these things, and I know, having gone to the California desert, there's a, you know, out in California City, there's a whole, you know, Marian cult that goes out there. A lot of people of the Hispanic end of the Catholic faith go out there, and they, you know, they see stuff. They're seeing things. And then we look back to Fatima, which, you know, people, you know, with all due respect, I don't think was a Marian, was the true mother of Jesus, was, it's all described as a UFO. So we see these things beginning to ramp up again, and that's certainly one of them. And one of the things that is interesting is this ecumenical movement where, well, you know, we're going to join all religions under one.
Right.
You know, that's the discussion. And you see that bumper sticker. I don't know if you see that in the Phoenix area, but you see that coexist bumper sticker. It's all over the place in Southern California now.
Yeah, it's all over here because you see it in Flagstaff because it's a university town. It's very new age.
Right.
And you've got the Native Americans. You've got the, so, yes, I saw those.
Oh. Yeah, that is just everywhere. And, of course, the concept there is, you know, when you worship God, it's okay, you know, you may call him Jesus, I may call him something else, but we're all worshiping the same thing, you know. And, you know, I certainly live and let live. I don't mind people worshiping who they will, but when they start shoving Christ into the same mold as Buddha, I think that, you know, something's up. And we know that in the end times, there's a worldwide religious system.
Correct.
And the signs are there for this, and now these things are heavily connected with UFOs. As you know, having come from the New Age movement, UFOs are part and parcel of spirit guides. I mean, they're all part of the same thing. So all of these things, Marian apparitions, the move to ecumenicalism, UFOs, just kind of wrapping this up, and then with events we have in the Middle East, I think we're going to be talking again, because if something comes down, and I feel, I don't know what's going to come down this year, but if it's anything like last year,
I hope it's us going up, Daryl.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be talking again. Stephen, I just want to thank you for taking the time out to talk with us. And again, hopefully we can make this a regular thing where we can kind of take the pulse of the planet, if we will, maybe, you know, on a regular basis.
Sounds good to me. Just give me a call.
Very good.
Glad to do it.